ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ.
We'll chant verses 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 9, chapter 11. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pashya Me Pata Rupani, Pashya Me Pata Rupani, ಶತಶೋತಸಹಸ್ರಶಃ ನಾನಾವಿಧಾನಿ ದಿವ್ಯಾನಿ ನಾನಾವಿಧಾನಿ ದಿವ್ಯಾನಿ ನಾನಾವರ್ಣಾಕೃತೀನಿ ಚ ನಾನಾವರ್ಣಾಕೃತೀನಿ ಚ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಗವಾನುವಾಚ ಪಶ್ಯ ಮೇ ಪಾತ ರೂಪಾಣಿ ಶತಶೋತಸಹಸ್ರಶಃ ನಾನಾವಿಧಾನಿ ದಿವ್ಯಾನಿ ನಾನಾವರ್ಣಾಕೃತೀನಿ ಚ ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯಾಂ ವಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರಾಂ ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯಾಂ ವಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರಾಂ ಅಶ್ವಿನಂ ಮರುತಸ್ತಥಾ ಅಶ್ವಿನಂ ಮರುತಸ್ತಥಾ ಬಹೂನ್ಯದೃಷ್ಟಪೂರ್ವಾಣಿ ಬಹೂನ್ಯದೃಷ್ಟಪೂರ್ವಾಣಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಭಾರತ ಪಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಭಾರತ ಪಶ್ಯಾದಿತ್ಯಾಂ ವಸೂನ್ ರುದ್ರಾಂ ಅಶ್ವಿನೌ ಮರುತಸ್ತಥಾ ಬಹೂನ್ಯದೃಷ್ಟಪೂರ್ವಾಣಿ ಪಶ್ಯಾಶ್ಚರ್ಯಾಣಿ ಭಾರತ ಇಹೈಕಂತಂ ಜಗತ್ಕೃತ್ನಂ ಇಹೈಕಂತಂ ಜಗತ್ಕೃತ್ನಂ ಪಶ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ಸಚರಾಚರಂ ಪಶ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ಸಚರಾಚರಂ ಮಮ ದೇಹೇ ಗುಣಾಕೇಶ ಮಮ ದೇಹೇ ಗುಣಾಕೇಶ ಯಚ್ಚಾನ್ಯದ್ರಷ್ಟುಮಿಚ್ಛತಿ ಯಚ್ಚಾನ್ಯದ್ರಷ್ಟುಮಿಚ್ಛತಿ ಇಹೈಕಂತಂ ಜಗತ್ಕೃತ್ನಂ ಪಶ್ಯಾದ್ಯ ಸಚರಾಚರಂ ಮಮ ದೇಹೇ ಗುಣಾಕೇಶ ಯಚ್ಚಾನ್ಯದ್ರಷ್ಟುಮಿಚ್ಛತಿ ನತು ಮಾಂ ಶಕ್ಯತೆ ದ್ರಷ್ಟುಂ ನತು ಮಾಂ ಶಕ್ಯತೆ ದ್ರಷ್ಟುಂ ಅನೇನೈವ ಸ್ವಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಅನೇನೈವ ಸ್ವಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ದಿವ್ಯಂ ದದಾಮಿ ತೇ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ದಿವ್ಯಂ ದದಾಮಿ ತೇ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ಪಶ್ಯ ಮೇ ಯೋಗಮೈಶ್ವರಂ ಪಶ್ಯ ಮೇ ಯೋಗಮೈಶ್ವರಂ ನತು ಮಾಂ ಶಕ್ಯತೆ ದ್ರಷ್ಟುಂ ಅನೇನೈವ ಸ್ವಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ದಿವ್ಯಂ ದದಾಮಿ ತೇ ಚಕ್ಷುಃ ಪಶ್ಯ ಮೇ ಯೋಗಮೈಶ್ವರಂ. ಸಂಜಯ ಉವಾಚ ಸಂಜಯ ಉವಾಚ ಏವ ಮುಕ್ತ್ವಾ ತಥೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಏವ ಮುಕ್ತ್ವಾ ತಥೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಮಹಾಯೋಗೇಶ್ವರೋ ಹರಿಃ ಮಹಾಯೋಗೇಶ್ವರೋ ಹರಿಃ ದರ್ಶಯಾಮಾಸ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ದರ್ಶಮಾಸಾಯ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪರಮಂ ರೂಪಮೈಶ್ವರಂ ಪರಮಂ ರೂಪಮೈಶ್ವರಂ. ಸಂಜಯ ಉವಾಚ ಏವ ಮುಕ್ತ್ವಾ ತಥೋ ರಾಜನ್ ಮಹಾಯೋಗೇಶ್ವರೋ ಹರಿಃ ದರ್ಶಯಾಮಾಸ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪರಮಂ ರೂಪಮೈಶ್ವರಂ. This chapter 11 is entitled Vishwarupa Darshana Yoga. Yoga, the cosmic form of the Lord. In chapter 10, the Lord shows the presence of the Lord in each and every different aspects of the world. Lord in every aspect of the world, which analytically he mentions. This is me here, this is me here, this is me here. In this chapter 11, he is showing everything in God synthetically. Vishwarupa Darshana, seeing the entire universe in God. Now this chapter begins with Arjuna speaking. He says, Mat Anugrahaya. Like I told you, The middle portion of the Gita emphasizes on Ishwara nature and Ishwara anugraha. The first six chapters emphasizes God, individual's nature, Jiva Swarupa and Jiva Prayatna, the effort the individual needs to put in. Now, in the second portion, starting from chapter 7 to 12, he is emphasizing, he is talking on Jiva Swarupa, who that God is, what is Tattva, and what is the, what do you call it, importance of Anugraha, he talks about. When we talk about Anugraha, grace of the Lord, the grace of the Lord is something that is universal, it's not provincial. It's available to one and all. But the grace is still received by one who knows how to receive. So we always use the example of mountain and the valley. Rain pours universally. It doesn't say I don't pour on the mountain, I will only pour in valley. It doesn't say that. Rain doesn't say that. But when it rains, it's ultimately the valley that collects, not the mountain. So a person whose ego is swelling at maximum, whose head doesn't bow down in surrender, whose head doesn't bow down in gratitude, who doesn't have bhakti, the grace is not received. Ultimately, your efforts will only fetch you the result, but with the grace. So like I said last week, only effort may fetch you success. But when effort mixes with grace, then it turns into excellence. The difference between success and excellence is that a person who has attitude, right attitude, receives the grace. So here you can clearly see the attitudinal change in Arjuna. From what he spoke in the first chapter, Shedayor Vayor Madhye Tapamta Payame Achyuta. He is telling Krishna, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. From this, think about me and mine, and my to you. Sera tujhko arpan kya lage mere. It is just a shift in attitude. Bhagavad Gita is nothing about shifting your lifestyle, just shifting the attitude. You continue living the same way, but the attitude changes, the bhakti enters. When bhakti enters, automatically you will be looking at it from the other person's angle. When you supposing you are running a manufacturing unit, the product that you produce, if you have bhakti, you will look at it from the customer's point of view. Bhakti is nothing but love. You use the word love when it is to your equal or somebody lower than you. You use the word bhakti when it is somebody superior to you. Which I have devoted to my parents. I love my children. I am devoted to my work. I am devoted to Bhagavan. So, bhakti and love are one and the same. When the direction of the emotion is to the peers and lower, it's called love. When the same direction of emotion is towards the higher, it's called devotion. So when you have that devotion in your work, automatically your product will have quality. Because love is nothing but identification. You will identify with your customers. You will think, if I am buying this, if I am going to do it for myself, how will I do it? Isn't it? Will I manufacture it with this kind of a lackadaisical attitude? I'm going to pray that. No, I look at it from that. That's called bhakti. Bhakti is not just singing some Bhagavanka songs or repeating the naam and then that too using a loudspeaker now. So that nobody, in fact everybody in the world comes to know how much of a bhakta you are, first of all. And secondly, nobody is this in your neighborhood. Because too much of bhakti in you. This is not bhakti. Isn't it? So when there is bhakti here, automatically it will be there in your attitude. telepathy. With your bhakti, when you pass on a knife, you will hold the sharp edge and give the handle side to the other person. If you do not have bhakti, you hold the handle side. That is bhakti in a relative sense. So here, Arjuna starts, Mad anugrahaya paramam gukhyamatyatma sanketam. So that very, very interesting attitude. The first chapter, my chariot, take it and place it in between both the arms. My chariot. This is what Arjuna said. Then in the second chapter, slowly he understood this. What did he say? Karpanya dosha upahata swabaha. What is this karpanya dosha? Kripa, the root, basically if you go to the root, it's saying Mysore. The dosha of Mysore has entered me. What is the dosha of Mysore?
Mysore.
What? Mysore. Who is the Mysore?
Self-deprecating.
Self
like, who takes
every,
like,
not
only taking, but not giving
them. One who doesn't use his wealth. Okay, and what is the wealth really? Real wealth. Don't say Atma, but it's the highest level. From a relative sense, what is the real wealth of a human being?
Knowledge. Attitude.
Attitude,
knowledge.
Sharing.
Wisdom of
mind.
Wisdom of
mind. Buddhi. Wisdom of mind. Buddhi. Discriminating capacity. Suppose you don't have discriminating capacity. You understand? I'm just giving it as an example. You have discriminating ability, so you behave properly. If you don't have discriminating ability, you will be behaving impulsively. Supposing you are getting an impulse now to do like this. You will be doing like this. So if you lost your discriminating ability, you lost everything. You lost it, isn't it? You lost it. Buddhi nasha. Remember what he said in the second chapter. Lhayato vishayam pusaha sankasteshu padhayate sangha sanjayate kamaha kama krodho vijayate krodha bhavati sammohaha sammoha smriti vibramaha. Smriti vibramsha buddhi nasha. Buddhi nasha pranashyati. Why you call a human being as the Shabdiyor of creation? Shabdiyor means the jewel in the crown of all the creation, because human being has the capacity to discriminate, think. Jab you have mortgaged your thinking, sell kar diya, have mortgaged kar diya, thinking ko. You understand? When you mechanically follow somebody in any field, especially in spiritual field, what have you done? You mortgaged your personality. In the Padmavindam, Adishankara says, Yallabase Vijakarmopatam Vittam Tena Vinodaya Chitta. Whatever has been earned by your effort, be satisfied with that, he says. The Padmavindam. Whatever you earn by your effort, in spiritual field also, it should be by your effort, by your original thinking. But what do? Mechanical repetition. You go to class. Class mein jo bola, aap bhi aake, wohi batayenge. So you are not earning anything. In fact, in spiritual field, all the more, original thinking has been lost. When original thinking is lost, you have lost it. No more spirituality. It is just parody. A parody will do a better job, or a technical will do a better job. You have mortgaged yourself. This is what we do. We are all personality worshippers. My guru versus your guru, my ashram versus your ashram. You understand? So, the thing is, karpanya dosha, miserly fellow, one who doesn't use his wealth. Doesn't that use it? In fact, from a different context, scriptures say he is the greatest giver. Total wealth, without touching it, goes on adding to it, he hands it over to his son, many times to his son-in-law, very many times to thieves. Absolutely great giver. Because after all, after a little bit they use, then they say, here this case he doesn't touch it at all. Absolutely to his son, in law, and thief. Or Swami, some ashram, somebody. Absolutely goes through. Right? So karpanya dosha means the wealth of a human being is what? Buddhi. Usko main jab use nahi karenge, it's called karpanya dosha.
But if you don't use your buddhi, you will not be able to pass it on to your children either, because you
are
sharing it. So no, if you don't use your wisdom, you cannot pass it down to your children also.
No, because that was in a different
way. Okay.
Buddhi, the more you use, more it will be restored and become stronger. See, the beauty about knowledge is how much of it you can deliver in you. In fact, it becomes stronger and sharper in you. With any other wealth, the more you share, your portion will reduce. Suppose you come back, a different matter. But as you are giving, it reduces, no? Whereas knowledge, the more you give, you only become more clearer. So the point is, karpanya dosha, he realized, I am not using my buddhi. My nature has been overpowered by the taint of buddhi. And I'm looking for fruits. I'm looking it from my angle. So I'm confused. What is right? What is wrong? At least that much he came down. What is right? What is wrong? I don't know. You please tell me. What is good for me? I will follow. You are my guru. He said that. Now, slowly see, as he surrendered and started listening to Sri Krishna and clarifying his doubts, slowly, you also must travel along with Arjuna. Then, if you also identify with Arjuna and travel along with him in the same way, then you must see what kind of change now Arjuna is having, the same change you should have. What is that? Mad anugrahaya paramam. He is saying, by your grace, by your anugraha, you have spoken these words to me. He is talking about what you have spoken, especially in 10th chapter, but he is referring to chapter 2 verse 11 till now. So he says, by the speech of the supreme secret known as Adhyatma, which you have spoken out of compassion for me. Please understand, knowledge is something that has to reveal itself. You can only remove the obstacle. And when a student is digging himself and removing the obstacle, the student, the more he gets qualified, the more he thinks he needs to put in more effort to receive it. The person who is the least qualified thinks he is ready right now to receive it. Now today, in the modern world, initiation is something that goes on everywhere. In bulk and all this. Initiation is something that the guru does when the sishya is ready. And the really ready sishya doesn't open his mouth and ask for any initiation. I think. Guru initiates. Like Sudama did not tell anything, but out of compassion, Lord Krishna gave. Exactly like that. So he says, by your grace, you have been saved. He doesn't say, I'm qualified, I deserve you to give it to me. He could have easily said that. No. But still, you, out of your compassion, spoke to me. This is the valley attitude. The more you gain knowledge, you become more like valley, not like mountain. The more you come to know, the more you will have the attitude, I don't know. You listen. You become humble. That's the definition even Lord Krishna talked about Brahmana. In the 5th chapter, 18th verse, he said, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmana. And Brahmana is one who has Vidya and Vinaya. That is the sign of education. Isn't it? So he says, Mat anugrahaya paramam ukhya madhyatma samsitam. This supreme knowledge of Atma was given to me by you out of your compassion. Now, you gave it to me. Now, what happened to me by that? The delusion of mind is dispelled. What delusion? What delusion is Atma? Has he realized the self? He's not yet realized the self. But the basic delusion is gone. What? Whether I should fight or not. Now it's very clear. I must fight. Because I'm a Kshatriya?
Yes.
I've been put in this context. Please, somebody, you are talking. Your nature is to talk. You know little, whatever little you know. Somebody invited you, go and talk. People may get impressed. People may not get interested. They may not want to call you again. Some people may get interested. They call you again and again. All possibilities are there, no? All possibilities are there. But you are supposed to think of all these things. May I invite it? Unless you are busy with something else, you accept that. Go and talk. Get out. Skip out. Understand? Like Swami Ramananda says, message is delivered, kill the messenger. Postman has delivered the message. You take it from him, be grateful to him, thank you very much. You say, he goes this way, you open the message, read it. So, you just be a messenger of God. Divinity. Do you know how the whole thing is functioning? What we know is very little. So we have come with certain role. Just accept that and play that. He says, my delusion is gone. Now I am not thinking from my angle. That much is controlling. And he says, verily the original dissolution of beings has been heard by me in detail from you, O lotus-eyed, in your inexhaustible greatness. You have spoken about origin, dissolution, he said, no, the 10th chapter. Even the sages do not know, even the devas do not know, all that you spoke, I completely accept that, he says. O Parameshwara, it is just as you have declared yourself. I desire to see your supreme form. Now he is saying, O Purushottama. The thing is, the subtle aspects of life, the more you start receiving and tasting the subtler aspects, the more you want that only. Your mind will no more go after the gross. That is why the principle of attachment, we always say, is you get attached to the higher, then you will get detached to the lower. So that is what we say, don't have to give up anything, don't feel guilty. Just stay on the life. But just do a little bit. What is that? Abhi neglect karne ka shuru karo. Don't say no. Regulate. You understand? More you regulate and without guilt feeling. Regulate, gain in knowledge. With your other sadhana. More you start tasting the higher, you will not be interested in the lower. Thereafter. So, Arjuna, having tasted the higher, now he wants to see it within. Desire to see me, to see it within. See, one is to appreciate things externally. But we need to internalize the knowledge. Unless and until we internalize the knowledge, we will not be established in it. So Arjuna is wanting to go through that inner transformation here. So he is telling Sri Krishna, I desire to see your supreme form, O Purushottama. And having asked for it, he quickly realizes, now I am not sure whether I am qualified to see it. So immediately he says, O Lord, if you think it is possible, if you think it is possible for me to see, he doesn't say if you think it is possible for you to show. Huh? See, you know, culture, from the way a person speaks also. Desdemona in Othello asked Iago, when Othello uses abusive language against her, he asked Iago, am I the name Iago? Am I the name? She doesn't say one name. She can't say that. She just cannot repeat. She's so cultured. She said, am I that name, Iago? Am I that name? And Iago gets frustrated. He said, what? What name? She doesn't say. His wife, Iago's wife, Emilia, who was there when Othello used that word, she said, she doesn't say. Desdemona doesn't say. So, the culture, Arjuna is clearly establishing here at Vasishya. He said, if you think it is possible for me to see. Because I don't know. I'm the Shishya. So he says, your imperishable self, if it's possible for me to see, then show it to me. Thus, O Yogeshwara. Yoga, Ishwara, Lord of Yoga. Lord of Yoga, who is that? One who is always united with the self. When you go to this South Indian Mandir, they have one Lord idol established in the sanctum sanctorum. They have another same Lord made in some other material, brass and all that put together, outside. That is the one which goes around. The one inside the sanctum sanctorum is always there. You understand? Like that, if Brahman is always in the state of Brahman only, from that this universe has come about. So that is the other one. Are you with me? One is in the sanctum sanctorum, other one. So, person like Krishna, who is always connected with the Lord within, at the same time brings about the manifestation. He is a great yogi. So you please, you yourself are a transformed individual. If you think I am qualified, kindly initiate me also. And when you get initiated by the Guru, with his help, you open up the chakras. When you start opening up the chakras, you start getting subtler experiences. This is not realization. Please understand. Realization is far beyond all this. But the subtler experiences, you start experiencing within. Thereafter, your mind will want to go inward. It will never want to go outward. That's why when the initiation happens and you start doing the sadhana and you start gaining that, thereafter, like how you now think, like, you know, if you are passionate about something, you will quickly finish everything so that you can make some time to do that. You will start doing that. The whole paradigm shift will happen. So that is the time when Guru initiates you into a certain sadhana and you have to follow that along with him. You follow that initiation, then the spirit from inside slowly will start. It's like fanning. A little spark, keep on fanning it, then it catches as a conflagration. So this is what he told. Now Sri Krishna speaks. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, Pashya Me Partha Rupani, Pashya Me Partha Rupani, Shatashota Sahasrashaha, Shatashota Sahasrashaha, Nana Vidani Divyani, Nana Vidani Divyani, Nana Varna Kritinicha, Nana Varna Kritinicha, Shri Bhagavan Uvacha, पश्य मे पातरूपाणि शतशोतसहस्रशः नानाविधानि दिव्यानि नानावर्णाकृतीनि च. श्री भगवान् उवाच, द ब्लेस्ड लॉर्ड सेड, बिहोल्ड ओ पार्था, पश्य मे ओ पार्था, सी नाउ, बिहोल्ड. Arjuna does ask, and immediately Krishna started showing. He says, behold, O Partha, in hundreds and thousands, my divine forms. Divine forms in the sense, behind all forms is divinity. Therefore, all forms are divine. So I said, every being, especially human being and every being, deserve respect for the very fact that they are also inhabitants of the same world. You should respect other species and other beings in your species simply because they deserve it. Now we respect a person based on what he or she does, based on what he or she has. But you should just respect the person for what he or she is. He is a human being. Just that he deserves respect. Yeah. So that's why we say you can criticize the worker, never the worker. You have no rights to that. So the thing that here Lord Krishna is trying to say is that, you know, divine forms. Everything below, things that express, everything is expressed out of divinity. So which is not divine? But the problem is you are so gross, therefore you are not able to see divinity in the gross. You need some sort of a manifestation. Then you will, out of fear, you will start accepting. But there is divinity everywhere. You don't see. So he says, in hundreds and thousands, means innumerable numbers, infinite numbers, divine forms of different kinds and various colors and shapes. The variety show. Like one colorless light passing through the prism becomes seven vajjaric colors. But the light is actually colorless. Exactly like that, the divinity, para prakriti, through the lower, appears as multiple. The permutation combination is something that one cannot conceive at all, like in kaleidoscope. You know, you crush the bangles and all the glass and make a kaleidoscope. Every little shake brings about a totally unique pattern. The creativity of Bhagwan is unique. There is no repetition. There is absolutely no repetition. That's why I will point this out to you more in detail when we study in the 15th chapter. Where he talks about, in Purushottama Yoga, he talks about inverted Ashwatthakri and all that. So, there he says, the root is Brahman and the leaves are Vedas. And the leaves are always connected to the root. It's fresh. It's got its nourishment from the sun above, which has nourished the roots, and through the roots it's got it. Correct? What are we doing? We're plucking the leaves from the tree. The moment we do that, we're plucking from the root. In other words, the Vedas we've got, but we haven't got it connected to Brahman. The words we have got it connected to Brahman. We have not internalized it. We don't understand those verses like that. That's why I said, if we do those verses, we'll do it in detail. But then, all you need to understand is, the moment you get it internalized, it's a totally different thing. You will suddenly see innumerable possible variety. Nothing is unique. So no master ever does speak anything pre-planned. It is spontaneous. Because it is directly speaking from the experience. He is the fountainhead of knowledge. He doesn't prepare, you understand? So, that is why when you go to Gurukul, the thing we are doing is little different. In Gurukul, even modern Gurukuls are different. That's it. Including our ashram. Technically, when you go to a Gurukul, you just stay there. And in fact, the truth is something in between the words the Guru speaks. There are people who collect the words of the Guru. There are people who focus on what the Guru has not spoken. What you actually have to connect to is what the Guru has not spoken. That is the truth. Kinovanishad says, it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear. If it is not what you hear, but what makes you hear, what are your notes then? All your notes are nothing but what you heard. So that is why when you go live with a guru, you understand, you are telling, I am going to get that transformation. So there, you are not saying that this time is better, that time you just be there. And many times when you silence yourself and guru silence, there is communion happening. And even sometimes Guru is inspired, he says something here and there. So you are always readily serving him. That is why he said, Tadvildi pranipartena pariprashnena sevaya. So he says, that is coming in different unique varieties. All this you behold. But behind all this is divinity. Hence he calls it as divine power. Immediately Krishna says, here, take it. This is what we say, Bhagwan is only waiting. They say for even Sri Krishna did not lend his support till he was asked. Knowledge is never given, it's always taken. So the moment Arjuna asked, and when Krishna thought he is ready, instantly said, take it. Behold Upata in hundreds and thousands of divine forms of different kinds and of various colors and shapes. Next. Pashya vidyan vasun rudran, pashya vidyan vasun rudran, ashvinav marutastata, ashvinav marutastata, bahun yadrishta purvani, bahun yadrishta purvani, pashyashcharyani bharata, pashyashcharyani bharata, pashya vidyan vasun rudran, ashvinav marutastata, bahun yadrishta purvani, pashyashcharyani Bharata. Behold Adya, 12 Aditya, 8 Vasus, 11 Rudras and 2 Aswini Kumaras, put together 33 Devas, the primeval gods, not God. God, when you say, is only one, Brahman. From that, various gods with limited powers. The 12 Aditya, 8 Vasus, 11 Rudras and 2 Aswini Kumaras. Also, Maruts, behold, O Bharata, many wonders never seen before. What do you mean by never seen before? All this you see, now Pratama is Aditya, now this is here, no idea what is Sadhguru. Devas, God the Brahman. What is trying to, please understand, mind is nothing but different planes. For example, when you are in dream, that's also your mind. But now we think, manifested waking state, do you have that access to that dream experience? But what you saw in dream, when you were there, you were going through that. It's a different frequency. Mind has various frequencies. What do you mean? See, just for your information sake, you at the moment look at it. We, most of us, operate at the five sense levels, isn't it? Even there, at the five sense level itself, our sharpness has reduced. So therefore we don't even know whether we are living in a really civilized society. Because civilization, by the word civilization, what do you mean? What do you mean by civilization?
Respectful give and take and living in society together.
You mean growth and development. Growth and development. When we were in the jungle, we had sharper faculties. Is it correct or not? Because you may get food or you may become food. In your jungle. Now, what has happened?
Dulled.
Our senses have become dulled. So, can you really say you are in a civilized society now? See, when you become more sharp, faculties are becoming sharper, you are able to think better, then you are really growing. What is civilization is a question that we need to ask ourselves. What is true civilization? Just because we have put ourselves in comfortable rooms, doesn't mean we are developed. And we are in moha. What is the moha? That we are in developed state. That is the biggest problem. But we have lost our capacities, even at the grass level. So what the yogis are trying to tell us is, in your body there are so many centers, you have no clue about it. And all the more when you are living at that level, you have no idea that you have all these capabilities. Because you are at the grass level. So, the moment you are done with it and you start opening up certain other chakras, you will be suddenly surprised to see a different frequency. Like for example, let's say you do not have eyesight. A person who doesn't have eyesight, he has only heard about blue color, red color, isn't it? Does he understand? He wouldn't know what it is. There's no way. But you are experiencing it. Exactly like that. The more we live at the grass levels, we don't know anything subtler. So that's why when a certain person is experiencing certain subtler things and he is not that much interested in the grosser aspects of the world, which he was probably earlier. Now we say, Bichara, Vedanta na prakya. You understand? Or yoga na prakya. But what you don't understand is, that fellow is experiencing that he cannot stop. There is no communication. There is no communication between a conditioned person and unconditioned person. So what he is talking about Krishna here is, the experiences when you go travel deep into your mind and when you cross the mind is realization. So all the various experiences that he talks about are subtler experiences, but that is not realization. Let me make it very clear. A lot of people misunderstand. They all think that he is kind of giving realization experience. This is nothing to do with it. In realization, there is no seer and seeing. The moment you are seeing, and if the seeing is so superior, this and that, similar is an experience. In fact, that is why the gurus are very, very careful whom to initiate. Because if you are not qualified, you will get stuck here. A lot of people who travel within, and if they were not really qualified and go beyond, they get stuck at that particular level. Certain supernatural powers, they get stuck there. That's it. And then what happens is, that starts becoming their source for survival.
Livelihood.
That's unfortunate.
That's a fallacy for
them. This is stuck. You know, like sometimes on the road, it's a very sad situation, but we see children come and do some gymnastics. Just for the very exact words that I used to say, impossible. For the very just for survival. So that is why gurus are extremely careful. To whom you give this knowledge? When we go to 18th chapter, you will see when he concludes, he says, after giving everything, he says, don't give this knowledge to a person who doesn't do tapas. And when you read this, you will get, really, it will be, and Atma Bodha, first thing he talks about qualification, he says, tapo vikshina papanam shantanam vitaraginam. First thing, if you want to gain this knowledge, you have to be relatively calm. If you are not relatively calm, you cannot gain this knowledge. Because I told you, anger comes, smriti goes. You all study this knowledge, all of us, we all study. But the moment some agitation comes, some anger comes, what happens? First thing, we don't remember is what we studied in the class. Then we do all sorts of things. My God, why did I behave like this? Krodha bhavati sammoha. Same thing happens when jealousy comes, greed comes, fear comes. So therefore, if you want to grasp this knowledge, if that is what you think is important for you, then you become a sadhana, right? The moment shishya, the moment you understand that this is the most important thing for me, then I have to keep myself calm at any cost. Therefore, I cannot have an indulgent lifestyle, nor can I have a denied lifestyle. Because both will unnecessarily activate my senses. So neither denial nor indulgence. A basic, regulated lifestyle. Shanta. Relative? Quite a bit. And then they say, I'll pick up agitation by fighting with somebody. Then I will not be able to grasp this knowledge. So therefore he says, do not give this knowledge to one who does not do tapas. One who does not ask, and one who does not ask in a proper way, etc. So here, if you come here again, it's very clearly Sri Krishna is telling Arjuna, behold all these gods. At a subtle level, the moment you open up those things, you start hearing them. Otherwise, it will just be words. Like words falling in the blind person's ears about colors. And for us, it is like that. So we will not understand what Sri Krishna is talking about unless we start doing tapas. Till then, it will just be fake. So, Adityas, Rudras, Aswins, Maruts, behold, O Bharata, Arjuna, many wonders never seen before. Many wonders never seen before means what? Before you were in the grass and level. You didn't see. See what happens is when you are attached to something or even for example when you are attached to work, you don't see your children growing up. So busy. Suddenly one day you see they are 21, 23, you got them married. You think you never lived with them. Because you are so busy. Now by the time you want to live with them, now they are preoccupied. They are not available. That is why lot of people get attached to the grandchildren. Now that fellow is caught. Yes, yes, no, this fellow I am not leaving. I lost my son, I lost my granddaughter, my daughter, but not my grandchildren. And that fellow is stuck. That's what usually happens. Start pampering that fellow. So because he's missing, we've not seen them. From literally, you tell me. So much preoccupied. So when we are so much preoccupied at the sense level, we didn't experience all this. That's why they say, you really, otherwise it's fake, yeah, it's fake, fine. Okay, so all these Bhagavad Gita will say, stop, Grant, yes, no problem. Grant, there's no one thing, yes. It's like you are traveling on the ocean in a beautiful ship. A lot of people say, it's something which is never understood. Expensive travel, going in a boat, the ship, enjoying, supposed to enjoy the cruise, but inside gambling. What are you enjoying? You might as well. You know, yeah. Delhi also you are doing the same gambling. In the ship also you are doing the same thing.
I know somebody who goes on the cruise and she doesn't, says I don't even get out at one place to see, sightsee, only in the casino. That's why I want to go on the business ship.
That's what I'm saying.
I found that very odd.
See, that's what I'm saying, like when you are on the traveling on the ship, you have no idea that there is under the ocean is a totally different world. How deep it is. And the more you travel deeper and deeper, you get different worlds, na? Certain animals only you see at the upper level. You go deeper and deeper, you start seeing certain things. It's a totally different experience. So it's going inside that Sri Krishna is talking about here. Unless and until you go inside, this will be just words and words. Hihai kastam jagat krishnam, hihai kastam jagat krishnam, pashyatya sacharacharam, pashyatya sacharacharam, mama dehe gudakesha, mama dehe gudakesha, Yachanyat drashtum icchasi, yachanyat drashtum icchasi, ihai kattam jagat krishnam, pashyadya sacharacharam, mama dehe guda kesha, yachanyat drashtum icchasi. Now behold here in my body, O Buddha Kesha, O Buddha Kaisha, O Lord of Sleep. That's what it means. Buddha Kesha means one who has conquered sleep. One who has conquered sleep means one who is alert, one who has conquered tamas. See, you are not ready to put in that effort. You will not get it. Nobody wants to do their original thinking. And we are just parroting scriptures, words of masters. It is just mechanical. In other words, you don't know the truth. You are informed about the truth. It makes no difference. It's like you see the menu card. That will not take care of the hunger. You have to order the food, eat it. So that's what he says, behold, now here in my body, O Buddha Kesha, Arjuna, who is an alert man, Arjuna is an alert person. The whole world with the moving and the unmoving. Chara, achara. Chachara, achara. Means moving and the unmoving. Centered in one. Everything in one, within him. See, mind is nothing but flow of thoughts, right? The moment you start giving a point of focus to the mind, it will start going inward. That is why in the Ashtanga Yoga, before they come to the Dharana, which is giving a point of focus, before that they talk about certain basics. Yama Niyama, first thing, do's and do's, then Asana, then pranayama, then pratyahara. Automatically some sense withdrawal will happen. When your mind, your senses will be turned inward, then you concentrate. Because the moment you start giving a point of concentration for the mind, the focus is there. And the more you focus, the effort is there, the pressure will be between the eyebrows. Anything when you focus, there is the pressure. Here, no? And there's pressure here. Slowly what will happen is the chakra opens up. So in my body needs not to be taken like then you're showing your magic like projection is going on some PowerPoint presentation. You understand? Some lot of people call Krishna as Mayavadi. Mayavadi. Mayavadi, magician. You understand? The more qualified person you focus there, the chakra starts opening. And when chakra starts opening, you get subtler experiences. But this needs to be done with the help of the Guru. That is what is called number one. Number two, in fact, I must present this. Number 2 point first. That is very important. First and foremost, before you do all these things, please understand there are 5 steps before that. That will purify you. Without purifying, don't do this. Because if you do these things with an impure mind, once the chakra opens up, your impure thought starts getting fructified. Then you will be in trouble. You will be in trouble. That's why they said, don't be in a hurry. First, pure yourself. Cleanse yourself. What is the hurry? You understand? Go to follow Yama Niyama. Asana Pranayama Pratyaha. At the moment you do this. And in Yam Niyam itself, study and all will come. Really study and all that. When you slowly open up and you become clearer, the Guru will initiate you into Dharana. And when that opens up, like he said, you will see the whole world, the moving and the unmoving. Within you. One fellow went, started from America, young boy, many years ago, Swami says, to the world. That is something that they all do, right? They learn a little bit and then say, I'm 20 now. And this fellow came, told his parents that came to see the world. And then his destination was India. And Swamiji used to be in Chinna Mission those days. He He came to Chindamishi. There, he got stuck. He said, I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying here to learn this knowledge. And he learned that. He wrote a letter to his parents saying, I'm seeing the whole world here. Now I understand there is no need for me to travel. You know? So, the moving and the unmoving centered in one. And then very interesting statement he says, and whatever else you desire to see. Now this is the tricky thing. What is this? Whatever else you desire to see. Mama dehe ura kesha yachan yat drashtu vichyati. Anyat drashtu vichyati. Whatever else you wish to see. What is that? Whatever else you wish to see. Future.
Whatever the question is
ready. The future, basically. Now when you go inside, you can see future here. If you remember, you must recollect this portion in the 4th chapter, when Sri Krishna said, I gave it to Vivaswan, Vivaswan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku, and the very same knowledge I am giving it to you today. And Arjuna says, excuse me, stop 1 minute, please stop. Don't proceed any further. He tells Krishna,
what are you saying, man? You are saying you gave it to Vivaswan, and Vivaswan gave it to Manu, Manu gave it to Ikshvaku. Vivaswan belonged to that time. You are belonging to this time. I know your birthday, date of birth. You understand? Huh? But you are saying, what are you saying? Excuse me, I don't understand. This mind-boggling statement you're making. I'm not understanding. So Krishna says, many births of yours and mine have gone by. You do not know them all, while I know them all. There, what are the examples that you think in that context?
Recollect the examples to get the idea. What are the examples I spoke in those contexts? What time is it now? Okay, next 15 minutes I'll maintain silence.
In the context of many lives,
Okay. Many births of mine and yours have gone by, while you know not them, I know them all. What Sri Krishna says. Isn't it? In the context I explained to you certain things.
I think about in Brahma's second is many.
So what are the examples he used? He said, here is an example of a tall building in which somebody lives in the penthouse next to the railway station. And a guest had come to their house. After a few days when he was leaving, the husband said, I will see him off at the station, I'll go with him. Wife said, I'll stay here only in the penthouse. And the wife is able to sight the train even before the train enters the platform from the penthouse. But the husband and the guest are able to sight the train only when it enters the platform. Similarly, husband is able to sight the train only till it leaves the platform. But the wife is able to sight the train
much longer,
after it has left the platform. That is one example. Another example I give is, for you...
I don't remember.
Are you with a patta, which will keep your memory intact? Whatever. I don't know what that is.
It's a new story to us today.
Rami. Rami. See, the another example we talk about is curtain. You see the entire range of curtain. For you, the entire range of curtain is present. This you remember. the very mention of Brahmi has some effect. So the Pata Mata Sri has some effect. Anyway, so the full... Yeah, you see the entire range, right? The ant which is crawling from that corner, for it, the other end of the curtain is future. Future. But for you, present. So the subtler you would start travelling in mind. Now what I am going to do is,
and the mountain
today's date and time I will somewhere store it. So next time when you say I am not heard it, I will bring the date and time.
Attendance.
So the thing is, the subtler you travel inside the mind, what is past and future is your present.
Even the mountain and seeing it from far, being on the mountain and seeing it from far, big picture, right. That is
right. So the subtler and subtler you go. You understand? So Sri Krishna is now telling you whatever else you wish to see. And Arjuna is going to see that. The future, the end of battle will be seen by Arjuna. He was terrified. See, it is part of our good actually, we don't see the future. Somebody asked, you know, Swami Chinnanandji, of course he is very well known for his humor and of course his, they say anger, but the temper, you know. It's like you go to a specialist, cancer specialist, you know. He is only, cancer is really the top, where you speak only to the indigenous doctor who is actually. Because you cannot understand. He is saying something and in between you say, can I eat curd rice or not? He doesn't know what to talk to. Just take this fellow out, I'll talk to you, you tell him. He is like that, Chinnanandji. But he is very humorous. Somebody asked Chinnanandji, Swamiji, in Vedanta you are saying we have so many past jammas and all that. Why don't we talk about it? Then Chinnanandji says, it is for your good and my good. What do you mean for your good and my good? My good and your good also. That's what I asked Swamiji. Swamiji said, supposing you come to know, by chance, this is an example. In the past, I was the one who eloped with your wife. In the past, Jemma. Will you not still listen to me in Vedanta? Why you want to know past? Why you want to know future? Being the present. You know, you put it in a very normal dichotomy, right? But the point is, at this level, the mind is something that cannot understand and take it. How the entire thing, do you have any idea? How the whole thing is going to function and how the effect is going to be, you don't understand. So, but when you start traveling inside, you start seeing the future. From our level in the future, from a different frequency, from a grosser frequency, the subtler you go, it is nothing but present. See, in other words, the seed is now, which is going to become that tree, but you don't, but now, the computer thing is there, the graphics. How will you look when you are 25? And if you see that, you will get a heart attack. Because now at least you will look. So it's exactly like that. Why do you want to know about it? Better don't know about it. And who are all going to be with me when I am 85 sitting alone in my room? Nobody can hear. If you see that now, you will get a heart attack. If you have some knowledge, okay, fine. Otherwise you will get a heart attack. Isn't it? This is what, whatever else you wish to see. Whatever else you wish to see means the entire past and future is available to you now. Once you have opened it up. And it is not easy to handle all that. And all the more when somebody has opened it up for you. When you yourself open it up, it's a little different. You cannot handle it. Arjuna also, that's why Krishna very carefully takes him up to a point and then again when he says I cannot take it back, take it, he slowly brings him up. This is something which has been said. As if it happened between Swami Ramakrishna Bhagavan and Vivekananda also. Vivekananda used to have all the time argue with Swami Ramakrishna. What is that? Just saying that thing like that. So, but he knows slowly something. Ramakrishna one day apparently kept his hand here between the eyebrows of Vivekananda. Gave him the initiation, temporarily opened up the chakras. And slowly the deeper things Vivekananda started experiencing. And then he brought him out. He said, now you are putting the effort and experience it yourself. So what happens when you get that spark by the Guru initiation, you get that. And now the thing is you have to put in that effort. And you got to continue that. And many of us believe it. And again it becomes good. So you got to keep on planning, keep on planning. That is why sadhana is very important. If you don't do that, it doesn't get spark. It's same with anything. You go, many organizations, they ask for motivational lectures. You understand? Motivational lectures, that day they're all second day. And after that, the environment is so, especially in the top leader himself, is so selfish. You understand? What motivation that fellow will have? You understand? That is impossible. Just that one motivation lecture, nothing much in case, except for a person who is little more self-motivated. Maybe that one fellow is there in the organization member. Nothing much will happen, honestly. The culture has to change, no? The culture has to be in such a way that it should be fanning that inspiration to continue. When he comes and sees his staff management fellows are extremely selfish and wrong, what motivation do you get looking at that on a daily basis? It's impossible without creating that atmosphere. Somebody who is on his own motivated is a different matter. In fact, he doesn't require any of these lectures also. Then it may kind of that fellow who probably is 2-3 in a big organization. So it's like that. But keep it fanning. But the problem is we do ulta. What is the ulta? What is the ulta?
We fan the ego.
We fan the opposite. Usko bahut time deta hai. We give time to that more. Fanning that. For this we give it little time. And then you say, studying for another 25 years, nothing is going to happen. Nothing, if something happens, then you have to be exempt. If nothing is happening, then everything is going on correct only. Because you are not doing anything. Fine, understand? That's what you need to understand here. Whatever else you desire to see. Natu maam shakyate drashtum. Natu maam shakyate drashtum. Anenaiva svachakshusha, anenaiva svachakshusha, divyam dadami te chakshuhu, divyam dadami te chakshuhu, pashyami yogamaishwaram, pashyami yogamaishwaram, natu maam shakyate drashtum, anenaiva svachakshusha, divyam dadami te chakshuhu, pashyami yogamaishwaram. But you can, now Krishna says, now you cannot see me with these eyes of yours. See, when Krishna started talking, it's like Greek and Latin to Arjuna. Aditya, Vasu, Rudra, you understand? He doesn't understand anything. It sounds black, it sounds like Latin. It is exactly what some people talked about. Especially the Westerners talked about the Upanishads. When they hear the words of masters, they are totally... See, because if you are talking about truth, you are talking about something that is dynamic. And something that is dynamic, you have to be authentic and spontaneous. And when you are authentic and spontaneous, your words will look contradictory. Truth is fresh, no? You see, there's a difference between this, I don't know if this is original flower maybe, but if you see certain duplicate flowers and the fresh flower, every second the fresh flower is unique and dynamic. If I paint the fresh flower now at 11 o'clock, it will be something. If I paint the same thing at 1 o'clock, it will be a little different. But I am painting the same flower. You understand? Same thing one has to say. I am not suggesting that purposely you say the ulta ulta things. You understand? When you speak the truth, you are talking about which is dynamic, not static. So, in the Upanishads, first he says, Tadure. So you are imagining, Tadure, he is sitting in cold. So that, Tadantike. Immediately, before he could come to any conclusion, Tadantarasya. So you should say, Sarlasya. Make up your mind. You will tell Guru, make up your mind. First of all, you are perceiving God properly. It looks like that. You see, inside our object must make it clear to you. The language of contradiction, you cannot miss that when you are talking about truth. You understand? Here he says, you cannot see me with these eyes of yours. You need Divya Chakshu. Something like what says Vyasa gave to Sanjaya. To see what is happening miles away in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So that Divya Chakshu has to be given to you. So he says, but you cannot see me with these eyes of yours. I will therefore give you the divine eye. Divine eye means what? Opening up. Initiation. Behold my supreme yoga. This is supreme yoga because it's always united, yet it looks separate. Even when you think you are Madhushri, you are Atma. Even when you think you are Madhushri, you are separate from Atma, you are Atma. But you look separate now, no? Somebody will come and tell you, you are God, please don't. Okay. I know you love me, but don't have to say that. I am God. The fact is you are. But yet you look separate. It appears separate to you. Yet you feel that you are so limited, constricted. Isn't it? This is supreme yoga. This is unbelievable maya way. You are connected, yet you don't feel that connection. Here you are not at all connected, yet you feel tremendous connection. That's the point. Actually you are not connected here, but you feel you are connected. There you are actually connected. You don't feel any connection. That's maya. So it says, behold my supreme yoga. How from me the whole thing has come in me, Sita. So it's an internal experience which Arjuna had given by the power of the Guru and he was relatively qualified. Not extremely qualified, but relatively qualified. So therefore obviously not people over there were seeing, many of them sitting and seeing all this. You understand? Those to the extent they had done the tapas, they see. That is why Gita says, Ya Pashyati, Sa Pashyati. No more argument.
No more?
Argument. Really? Deva Sattva Kidare? Yes, isn't it? What are you going to prove to them? So, okay, fine. No problem. These are all empty talks, fine. So it will be done. So all the Guru says, no problem. They will never get angry. Because they understand. You are trying to see something which cannot be seen with these eyes. How can you try to understand Bhagavad Gita, Upanishad with intellect? The supreme message of Dharma. You build your intellect using that and up to a certain point you will understand. But when they talk about the ultimate, you will surrender. But the moment you try to grasp it, try to grasp with your intellect, you will not. When the intellect understands that it cannot understand, you reach the height of God. But you have to bring the intellect to that height. Whatever intellect can understand through the scriptures, it understands, which will help you to follow in the world, you do that. And you come to a point where the intellect understands the final point of it, I cannot. And when it surrenders, when it bows down, the grace descends. That's when you have to come to the final thing. Sarvadharman Paritesh. That's the beautiful thing. So therefore, I give you the divine eye. Divya Chakshu. Initiation. Behold my supreme yoga. And once you will behold the supreme yoga, thereafter it's very difficult for you to come into this cross world. The sense to get lost. Slowly, slowly you would want to go that side. That's why we say the children are young itself. Give them the values and all that. Even as they grow, expose them to all these things. As they grow, supposing they have gone somewhere else. Where the atmosphere is not conducive, as a result of this they may stray away, but this will work in them, inside, like, and bring them back. But if you miss it when they are small, it's very difficult. There. Because you cannot be all the time everywhere. It's like fixing cameras in them. Those values, the moment it has been given, those exposures. And then that itself will correct them, course correct them and bring them back. So he says, I will give you the Divya Chakshu with which you can behold my Supreme Yoga. What is the Supreme Yoga? I am just myself, but through me the whole world has come. Sunlight is saying, Baba, I am colorless, but through me, from me how so many colors have come. This is fascinating. Isn't it? But when you come to me, I am colorless. But from me, all sorts of colors have come. Different combinations you made out of it. Exactly like that is the greater Supreme Yoga. It is Ashwacharya. It's mind-boggling. The moment you start understanding this, you will become speechless. The more and more you understand the subtler aspects which Vedanta talks about, you will go towards Mauna. You start becoming a Mauni.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि।